All right. We are doing a little bit different this week for those of you that are listening this week, which means the next 7 days from August 28th, 2015. We usually do Heavenly Places, but I'd like to share something from Conflicts and Courage. Conflicts in Courage, I think it is, right? Is it Conflicts in Courage? Page 266. And it's kind of like Heavenly Places. It's a little devotional. It's a little shorter. It's maybe about the same size. This one here is titled, Our God Shall Fight for Us. That's actually Nehemiah, I believe. Let me just double check here. I think it's Nehemiah 4, verse 20. Got to turn my Bible software on because everything, I just did a reboot. Oh, yep, it's the end of chapter 4, verse 20. The verse 20, it's the end of verse 20. Our God shall fight for us, right? All right. And it says, the restoration of the defenses of Jerusalem did not go forward unhindered. You know, when they were rebuilding the wall, Nehemiah and that. She says that Satan was working to stir up opposition and bring discouragement. Now, just think about this. For those of you especially that are doing a work, all right, whether you're just doing a work in your neighborhood, your neck of the woods, your families, with your coworkers, classmates, whatever the case may be, notice how things get, you know, somewhat befuddled. You can get these confusing attacks. It causes, you even get that dark cloud from hell that tries to make you feel lesser of yourself, and you feel like you're the scum of the earth and all this other stuff, and not blessed of the Lord. You're not doing enough. You know, I mean, the devil does whatever he can to just knock you down a couple of pegs, right? So anything that he can use to bring discouragement, he's going to run with it. So this is how he works. This is how it's been going. And this is why we have 66 books in the Bible. The Lord lets us know how, and this is what amazes me about a lot of people. You know, saying, well, why doesn't God just answer my prayer and say something, or a hand come out of the sky and point at something, or even write on the wall like he did with Belshazzar? This is, okay, have you ever heard of a Bible? I mean, he's done an awful lot of talking there. Every question you can come up with has been answered there. As a matter of fact, it's going to take you all of eternity just to understand how powerful the truth is in that book. So, again, she says, the restoration of the defenses of Jerusalem did not go forward unhindered. Satan was working to stir up opposition and bring discouragement, but taunts and ridicule, opposition and threats seemed only to inspire Nehemiah with firmer determination and to arouse him to greater watchfulness. That, too, is evident in the final church. I mean, I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in some of yours. The harder the enemy attacks, the harder we work. Because it literally lets us know. You know, I mean, come on, the dog don't bark unless you start messing with him, right? It's just obvious. He doesn't like what you're doing. And it's confirmation of the work we're doing. It's a blessing to see the world doesn't like it. It means you're on the right track. She goes on saying that he recognized the dangers that must be met. She's speaking of Nehemiah. She says he recognized the dangers that must be met in this warfare with their enemies, but his courage was undaunted. And it says, she's echoing, of course, Nehemiah's words, and he says, we made our prayer unto our God, he declares, and set a watch against them day and night. And besides, Nehemiah stood a trumpeter, and on different parts of the wall were stationed priests bearing the sacred trumpets. The people were scattered in their labors. How does that sound? Seriously, does anybody here live within at least 500 miles of each other? Seriously, or like something like, how about, 10,000 miles from each other? Like with the Philippines and whatnot, and Africa, and I mean, we're all over the world now. The Lord literally blessed us with an online church gathering because he knew having us all in one city, when that latter rain falls, is not going to be very effective, is it? At least not right off, because we're all going to be buying plane tickets and try to figure out other places to be. what better idea than to actually have them living in the areas where he's going to need them to do the work? Or at least close to those areas. Anyway, scattered in their labors, and then it goes on. But on the approach of danger at any point, a signal was given for them to repair thither without delay. So we labored in the work, Nehemiah says. And half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Nehemiah and his companions did not shrink from hardship or trying service. Neither by day nor night, not even during the short time given to sleep, did they put off their clothing or lay aside their armor. I mean, these guys are at the ready. I mean, you think Minutemen are amazing in the infancy of America. These guys would make Minutemen look like foot draggers. Seriously. I mean, they're going to bed with their armor on. She says the opposition and discouragement that the builders in Nehemiah's day met from open enemies and pretended friends. All right, this is one of the reasons we tell you, don't be handing out your email like it's candy. Because your email, you're gonna have to deal with it. You know, when the people you thought, you know, were pretended friends, you know. Anyway, they met these with open enemies, it says, and pretended friends is typical of the experience that those today will have who work for God. And this has more or less been our testimony for the last 30 years for me. I don't know however years you've been in the truth, that's how many years you've seen this, because we've all seen this. She says Christians are tried not only by anger, contempt, and cruelty of enemies, but by the indolence, inconsistency, lukewarmness, and treachery of avowed friends and helpers. That one threw me for a loop, because that one there reminded me of, and I don't want to mention names, but it's not just the West Coast people. I have literally been very close with many men of God over the years that literally were treacherous. Did not tell me about certain things that they had done or were continuing to do while claiming to be strong men of God or women of God. But the Lord will let you know. See, that's kind of what upsets my kids. I'm not saying my kids are treacherous. What I'm saying is, man, how does mom and dad always figure this stuff out? It's because we pray. The Lord's going to let us know. And plus, we can read you like an open book. But you don't have to say that part. I mean, come on, you raised a kid, you know. Just by looking at them, it's, oh, so what did you do today? You know, right off, you know. But you keep it light. But when they're thousands of miles away, they can, it's very easy to dust the Bibles off when you don't come around much. And what I mean by that is, even though my upraising, if you will, my raising, if you will, was in a Catholic household and we were considered quote unquote devout, it was only when people were looking on. The Bible wasn't opened or even dusted off unless a priest was coming to visit. And that is, you know, par for the course in every Catholic household that I've ever been in. And then when Fran and I first got married, we were extremely devout. We had a little shrine. Well, I built this little shrine and everything with rosaries on it and holy water, blessed candles, scapulars, icons, relics. I kid you not, pieces of dead human bodies. Relics. So as holy as Satan could make it. But I thought it was holy as God could make it. But still, even with all that holiness, as I thought, I'll still mess around with the occult. That's Catholicism. You can have your cake and eat it too. She says, Satan takes advantage of every unconsecrated element for the accomplishment of his purposes. Among those who profess to be the supporters of God's cause, there are those who unite with his enemies and thus lay his cause open to the attacks of his bitterest foes. And this is why some of the people that have attacked us over the years always make it, and this happened to Sister White too, and I thought it was pretty amazing to actually see it happen in exactly the way it happened to us years ago, repeatedly, where people leave your number, and like say I try to help the guy, or Craig tries to help the guy, or one of you try to help them, and then all of a sudden mass emails go out. And it's never about any concrete evidence about any sins that we have committed or I have committed or you have or anybody has committed. It's all railing accusations because no Matthew 18 theology is behind it. No two or three witnesses can back up their claims. So they put it out there to unite with his enemies so as to lay your cause open to the attacks of his bitterest foes to try to conjure up some kind of trouble for you. You know, like when Elijah walked up and Ahab says, oh, so you're the guy that troubleth Israel. So, oh, no, you got that backwards. You're the one doing it. Because truth is truth. He was disobedient, as was his wife. But finishing, she says, even some who desire the work of God to prosper will yet weaken the hands of his servants by hearing, reporting, and half-believing the slanders, the boasts, and the menaces of his adversaries. We saw that too. As a matter of fact, some people that were part of our number prevented this church from growing just from being here, and they were considered strong in the word. Strong in the spirit of prophecy, too. And they helped out many of us. It was great, but there was a little bit too much exacting going on. There was a little bit too much policing, if you will. And whenever there was just an inkling of a slander or a boast or any kind of a bad report, oh, it was glorified as if it was the gospel truth and this person's mainlining heroin or something. It was just... They would take the littlest, and hey, but by the grace of God, there go I. I mean, what about the closets or the skeletons you got in your closet? We're all, you know, sinners, saved by grace. Keep repenting. You know, keep confessing. But some people don't even know how to do that, it seems. It's sad. And then she says, the response of faith today will be the response made by Nehemiah. Our God shall fight for us. For God is in the work, and no man can prevent its ultimate success. Because guess what? Have you read some of the prophecies? Every one of them came true, didn't they? So how is it possible? Let's just say there's only 100 prophecies in the Christian Bible. Oh, I love using this on the street, or on the phone, or in the emails, or wherever. But just picture for a moment there's only 100 prophecies in the Bible. That's it. And we just saw prophecy 99 fulfilled. The overwhelming majority of the people on the planet don't believe number 100 is going to hit. Yeah, it's just impossible. There's no way. But the Christians know. Even if only one of the 99, like in, let's say, Adam and Eve's day, they know the other 99 are coming. That's faith. We know you can't prevent that which has been penned. Our God saw it. He reported it and shared it with us. We believe it. That settles it. It's going to happen. And so they can go out there and make all the crazy plans they want. But and let me just read a couple of verses from Psalms 2. Because this really comes in hand. Oh, man, there's the Bluetooth thing. Okay, here we go. All right, so Psalm 2. Boy, I tell you, there's got to be a way to upgrade this, the Bluetooth anyway. It says, why do the heathen rage? Okay, again, Psalms 2. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. Kind of like, you kidding me? Seriously, you actually believe that? So, number two, verse two. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. I love verse four. Just put verse four in the room, brother. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. I mean, he said it, I believe it, that settles it. That's how it's got to be with the Christian. It's going to happen. That eastern sky is going to split. We already see the four winds slipping, the plagues. We already know how all seven are going to hit. I mean, I got a page on the website all about it. And and lists of things that show, yeah, the four winds are slipping. All over the planet. But yet there's people out there saying, oh, history repeats itself. Not going to happen. Really? Then how is it the other 99 hit? Boy, if you believe that, you really ought to start going to Vegas a little more often. Because, boy, are you a gambler. Because that's, and I don't suggest going to Vegas, I'm just saying that as like a metaphor, if you will. Because that's just downright spiritually insane. That's one of the beauties of this Bible that we have in our hands. He's given us so much inside information. And the amazing thing is, the wicked that hate our guts, that want to kill us, can also open that same book. Now here's the power of a mighty God that we serve. They can read the exact same books. You could have a twin brother or a twin sister that doesn't believe, and they can read the exact same passages in the scriptures that you read. You can get blessed and they can't see a thing. That is amazing how he does that. And that's that one sermon I say that can't be penned. You can't write this sermon. You can't tell people how to learn truth. You can't. It has to be that gift that's given onto you. And the only way you're going to get that gift is if you ask for it. That's it. But nobody out there wants to ask for it. They demand it, but they'll never ask for it the way it's supposed to be asked for. So, Pope, pray you're blessed.